We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome into our back into our WWL Draft Fest coverage here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, giving you a little recap of the action so far today for the Black and Gold, who have made four of their five draft picks in round five. They had three. It was quarterback from South Carolina, Spencer Rattler, then wide receiver Bub Means out of Pittsburgh, and linebacker Jalen Ford of Texas going to the Black and Gold. That was in the fifth round. Sixth round pick, defensive tackle Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa. And now we're waiting on that seventh round pick. They have the 19th overall selection in the seventh round. That'll be coming up sooner than later. First, we're going to step away for our news break as we head it back downtown to the studios. And we'll be right back here at the Rouse's Market for our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into our WWL Draft Fest coverage brought to you by TrainSouth.com. We're here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. And Mike, sorry to tell everybody, but already claimed the remaining leftover fried chicken over here for the kiddo. He's been addicted to it ever since we were at the home of the chicken back during the season.
Well, you don't have to worry about cooking for him tonight.
Exactly.
So you're in good shape there.
Looking at it, we're getting winding down here in this draft. The Saints getting on the clock sooner than later here in the seventh round. Trying to pull up things to see where we are currently. The Saints, like I said, one more pick in this seventh round. The Cleveland Browns currently are the guys on the clock right now. They are saying the best available player for them, Curtis Jacobs, the linebacker out of Penn State, and maybe the best fit for them could be defensive end Gabe Hall out of Baylor.
Baylor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks the part, Gabe Hall. I just wish he would play more. Or make more plays, so to speak. But Gabe looks the part. I mean, physically, he's got what you're looking for, and he flashes it. He just doesn't do it very consistently.
Looking at some of the picks, Mike, that just came off the board recently, we'll look at the Raiders. Got safety, Trey Taylor out of Air Force. Then it was DeJon Anthony, the safety from Ole Miss, going to the Bengals. USC wide receiver Brendan Rice to the Chargers. And
that's Jerry's son.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Rice's son goes to the Chargers. So San Francisco and L.A., they ain't too far.
Yeah, right.
But, man, You know, Brandon, he's a possession receiver, nice target guy. And, you know, what Jim Harbaugh wants to do to move the chains. And, boy, you got a stud quarterback. Now, you got to kind of maneuver around that a little bit. But, man, the running game and offensive line, I think Jim Harbaugh, man, if you're in the AFC West, you best batten it down. Because we all know how good Kansas City is. And I certainly think that you got an improved team out there in L.A. How that'll work out remains to be seen with Las Vegas until they can figure out that quarterback situation. Because Uncle Rico, you know, Gardner Minshew has got hold of that. But, you know, big question mark is what's happening in Denver, you know, with Sean. Is he going to play a rookie quarterback?
It's hard to think Sean would do that, right?
I don't know.
Desperate times, I guess.
You better win, because I know one thing, that Walmart dude that bought the team, he don't have a lot of patience. He ain't made his money that way. You know, he's made his money in a quick fashion, so to speak. And so, you know, he don't want to hear about, man, what I'm paying Sean Payton to turn this team around, and this is what I'm getting in return. No, you better win. You know, it can't always be the players. Sometimes maybe that finger will get pointed back at you. Goes to show we all suffering from Drew Brees, not having him. Saints and also Sean.
He makes you look a little better.
A little better. A lot better. So, you know, it is what it is at this stage. But the Chargers are – I'm interested to see, because one thing with Harbaugh, he's kind of been magic. Wherever he's been, he has turned franchises around and quickly. It took him a little while at Michigan to piece it all together. But everywhere else, it was fast. The way he won.
Well, you talk about San Francisco, you talk about up at Stanford, he's won. I mean, and he's got a model that he kind of follows, and it happens for him. The interesting thing and intriguing will be, you know, he brought a lot of the guys over from Michigan with him, you know, and if he can coach, you can coach. Now it's just about, can I get the players in the right position to be able to coach them up?
Okay, Deuce, think about this. Years ago, would an NFL team have went out and tried to get a college assistant to be an assistant coach for them? That is a rarity years ago. Today, that's the norm.
It's the norm. And really a lot of your college coaches, you always aspire to be at the NFL. But, I mean, you look at a guy like Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly was the head coach. The head coach at UCLA. Chip Kelly resigned to go be an offensive coordinator.
At Ohio State.
Wow, right? State.
But after, I mean, but he tried to get some NFL jobs.
He went after a couple of NFL jobs, not head coaching jobs, just offensive coordinators. I mean, and that's dealing with transfer portal, that's dealing with the NIL and the instability of the NCAA and the fluctuation with conferences. That's what you're dealing with.
It's the aftershock of the earthquake in the NCAA right now.
They got another one coming. Yeah, they got another one coming, because at some point it's going to be – it's not the Power 5 anymore. It's the Power 4. I mean, and we know that the playoff system start next year. And how many is it, 8? And it goes to 12 in a couple years?
And then it's going
to
be 16.
And then it goes to 16.
You mentioned it, Chip Kelly makes – still me break out in hives. I got no love lost for him for what he did with the Philadelphia Eagles.
He won, didn't he?
Yeah, he also shipped out a bunch of guys.
Oh, well, okay. Now, you're talking about the negative. See, that's the problem, Steve. You got to insinuate the positive.
It's the cost of greatness.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a little – that negativity, it's Philly. They booed Santa. They got a jail inside
Santa,
their damn place with
Santa,
a judge.
No, we don't believe in Santa up here in Philadelphia.
I'll tell you a quick story. This is late in the season. Man, he just passed away, but O.J. Simpson was coming out of USC.
Juice.
And it was Buffalo or Philadelphia that was going to get the first pick in the draft, and you would figure the Saints end up and they skunk a game, and Philly wins, which pushes them to the 2 spot, and then Buffalo picks O.J. So Diliberto's on the sidelines with the Saints. He said, man, I got pelted. They had, like, they would get rolls of, like, nickels and dimes and throwing it at you as you walked off the field in Philly. And he said it was right around Christmas time. It didn't make no difference. But they were so upset that they weren't going to get the first overall pick, and figured Buffalo got Simpson. And I think the Eagles picked Leroy Keyes.
I had to look it up, yeah, from Purdue.
From Purdue.
Well, when we played them on January 1st, without, they had didn't have Jalen. They had Minshew.
Minshew, yeah, Gardner.
And Saints won, like, I don't know, 10-6 at half, something like that. It wasn't pretty. And they were booing them. They were like 13-2 or something, you know, amazing. Yeah. Right? Like, dude, it's halftime. It's 10-6.
Oh, that's when they were going to wrap up the number one seed.
Trying to wrap up the number one seed.
Trying to wrap up the number one
seed.
And
that had to do with the next week. I can get the Giants, I think.
Yeah.
But it's just different, right? It's
the fan base is a little different. Steve, tell us about it.
Oh, man, you know, it's what have you done for me lately? And like you said,
how lately are we talking? Like last week lately?
I'm talking about tomorrow, yesterday lately.
They're definitely calling for Sirianni's head up there already, for sure.
Oh, I know it.
There was that epic collapse last year. It's a huge head scratcher still.
Well, I mean, but you look at what the GM would how he had to go through, and it's just like Sirianni, we don't know if we're going to bring you back. Wait, you talking about the guy that won it all just a couple of years ago?
You know
it. I mean, not. 7 years ago, but like 2 or 3.
Well, and Michael mentioned all the time what how he's been able to do for Philadelphia, but the pick that sticks still with me, you take Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. What?
Yeah, but
everybody
got stuff like that.
Thank you.
I hear
but,
you.
That's almost like, hey, look, I know the answer to the test after I've taken the test. You know, of course you're going to say you wanted Justin Jefferson. Nothing told you at that time that Justin was going to be what he is now.
But Jalen Reagor?
If you look at the numbers and the comp for it, it was probably the right pick. It was probably the right pick. You got to remember, Justin got outshadowed by who?
By Jamar. Bing.
Think about it.
Well, the scouting department needed to step it up right there for LSU. I mean,
That's beside the point, right?
I just remember they had video of the pick of, you know, Minnesota when the Eagles made the selection. They're all laughing and high-fiving each other.
Okay, because they got the guy they wanted.
Yeah,
right.
They got the guy that they wanted, but they didn't think that this guy would be
Minnesota.
One of the best picks ever. I mean, because you think about it. They traded Diggs.
Yeah.
And that's how they were able to get, right. You know, you go and you draft.
How many teams passed up Jefferson?
Think about that. Right. It was just one of those heartbreaking moments, obviously, and to see Jordan Jefferson's now ascension into that elite category.
No. He's not elite. Elite plus.
Elite, as Mike would say.
Yeah, I say elite.
Elite plus, though. I mean, because yeah.
And I got to admit, every time I see that gritty, I'm like, it makes me mad because I was like, I could be doing that in my green.
So, Deuce, in 01.
Green with envy.
In 01, you were the second back taken. You
correct.
Certainly wanted to go earlier with
Damian
Tomlinson.
That
but
is
there, what was the team like? You know, I don't know if it was how much different it was. You know, there were a ton of wide receivers went, defensive tackles.
So, like we talked about a run on certain positions?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a run on defensive tackles my year.
Yep.
Because like you talked about, I was the second back taken, but I was expecting to go top 5, at worst, top 10. Because you talk about 30 visits or whatever. I didn't take 30 visits. I only visited like 5 or 6 teams. And all of the teams that I visited with were in the top 10. I was basically not going anywhere that didn't have a top 10 pick because I figured I was not going to be there. I didn't go to New York at the time the draft was in New York. I didn't go to New York. And you know why I didn't go to New York? I didn't get a guarantee from a team. They were giving guarantees at that time that, hey, look, if you're there, we're guaranteeing you that we're going to pick you. I didn't get a guarantee from a team in the top 10. And I'm like, man, I'd rather stay here with, you
man,
know,
they
my
didn't
family.
Want to see you on TV sweating.
Well, I didn't even think about that part of it. You know, I was literally – back then, the picks were 15 minutes apiece in the first round. And, look, Mike, if you're not, you know, number 2, number 3, man, if everybody's taking all that time, we're almost 3 hours.
No,
You know, 2 hours, 3 hours, you're just sitting.
Okay, Randy.
There were four defensive tackles that went in the first 22 picks.
And
a few of them went right back to back.
Is that our music to get off?
No. No. I don't hear anything, at least.
No, go ahead.
No, so, yeah, that's how
I'm going to
hear it. Deaf.
Yeah, it's music. I told you, it's loud here.
I'll finish it.
Yeah, Deuce will come back to that story.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with our Draft Fest coverage brought to you at DriveTrainSouth.com right here at Rouse's Market on Bauer Boulevard.
Who dat, folks?
Welcome back into our WWL Draft Fest coverage brought to you by TrainSouth.com. We are live at the Rouse's Markets Power Boulevard. Make sure come out and talk some football with Team WWL here. Just coming off the board, guys, Louisiana's Nathan Thomas, tackle, going to Dallas. Sorry, Charlie. He's going to the Cowboys.
Yeah, but he got picked. Chalmette, young man, who's seen a little work inside, played tackle. So he's
talk about
a guy.
A big boy.
He's a big guy. And I thought, you know, as we get late, maybe that might have been a Saints pick. Because you're looking for that type guy.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to find a lot of those guys out on the street.
Nope.
You're not going to find a lot of those type players out on the street. And so to be able to pick him in the seventh round, you don't have to fight for him as far as pay as well.
And he really played well this year, but he went down late with the knee injury, had surgery, didn't play in the bowl game. And so it's a negative. I mean, nothing you can do about it if you get hurt. But you see now more and more that things affect you on the physical part. And sometimes it's not a huge injury. Look with Kool-Aid. Yeah. You're dropping from the first round into the second round because of a foot injury.
We got four picks left before the Saints, so we got a little bit, just a touch of time. I do want you to finish your thoughts because it's important that you, in 2001 – there was a run on defensive tackles.
Oh, it's not important. It's done important at this point.
It's a story
it's
at this
important.
Point.
It's important to me.
Yeah, no, it's done at this point. But, Mike, one of the things that I learned after it's all over, whether it's the playing days or even after the draft and getting to know the process a lot better, there were two mistakes that I made my senior year going into the draft. I had an opportunity to come out as a junior. I decided not to. I still had an all-SEC. Now – the older Deuce would have said, Deuce, you got to go. But I felt like that I wanted to try to compete for a championship, SEC, et cetera. Hey, that is what it is. One of the things that I had to do that if I had over to do, I would have fully participated at the combine. And I did the vertical, probably had 37, 38-inch vertical. And I did, you know, I went out and performed catching ball. I was able to do all that. I didn't run the 40. Which if I had I would have ran a 4.3. You know, I would have possibly low 4.2. I weighed in at 220. That was my weight. I was fine weight-wise. Weighed in at 220. You know, you're right at 6.2. Would have ran a 4.3. The other thing, I did the bench press probably around 21, 23 as far as bench press. But not performing completely at the combine and not participating in the Senior Bowl is where LT was able to make the separation from myself, the prospect that was presumably a top 10 prospect, to fall into 23. He was able to connect with the San Diego Chargers at that time, because that was the team that coached him. Even if I don't play in the game, I'm around the coaches. They get to hear me. They get to see me. They get to see me perform, even practice-wise, but I chose not to do it. And that was a decision that me and my agent made, but that was one that came back to bite me.
Well, it helped us.
Well, I mean, obviously.
It was
great. Yeah, in the end, everything turned out great.
Right.
But just going through that process and knowing it again.
He'd have done it different.
Those are three things, really, I would have done. I probably would have came out as a junior doing it all over again, but – I decided to come back, and if I had to do it a senior year, those are the two things for sure. Because I was banking on scouts – well, not scouts, head coaches and general managers coming to my pro day workout. Unless you're a top quarterback, you're not getting those guys. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of them, but I didn't have all 31 teams at the time that you were banking on – all 32 teams that you were banking on coming.
Did you think you were in – not trouble at that point, but did you knew that you had things had changed?
No, I mean, even going into it, you felt pretty good,
right?
You felt pretty good even going into it, and then to get invited to New York for the draft, I got the invite, so it wasn't like I felt like that. Oh, I've bounced out of all of my five or six visits. I visited New England, I visited Cleveland, I visited San Francisco. You know, and all of those teams. There's one more that I think I visited. There's one. All of those teams had top 10 running backs. No, they had top 10 picks.
Okay.
Now, what we did know, me and my agent, if you fell out of the top 10, there was going to be a 6-7 team run where they already had running backs. So we did know that. And so once that happened, I'm kind of like Hokie. Instead of going fishing, I leave the house and I start walking, you know, just go and shoot the hoops. There's no need for me to watch the TV for the next 2 hours. Need,
and they didn't. They didn't need linebackers.
My phone started ringing. What pick did Tampa Bay had? Was it 14? 15?
14.
14. My
Kenyatta Walker.
Kenyatta Walker, left tackle, played at Florida from Meridian, Mississippi. My phone started ringing there. And then 18, I can't remember which
Detroit.
Team. Well, St. Louis was a team that Adam Archuleta went to.
20.
And
20th.
That's where my phone started. Team started trying to move up and move to tell me, hey, look, if this player in there, we're trading with XYZ. I was on the phone with Minnesota when the Saints picked me at 23. Minnesota picked 24. They end up picking tailback Wisconsin.
Michael Bennett,
who was fast as all get out. I was on the phone with Minnesota to tell me they were going to pick me if the Saints didn't pick me.
Crazy part of that story, on the flip side, Buddy D and I, we doing the coverage, and this is what we're doing it at the Saints camp outside. And so Randy had told us, you know, we got a couple guys that we're looking for, but it's more on the defensive side that we're looking to upgrade. And he had told me, give me about 20 minutes after the pick, and they'll put me in a golf cart, and I'll go do the interview with you guys. So ends up being Deuce, give the pick. Randy comes on stage, and we not on air, and he tells me, I ran 3 to 4 dozen mock drafts. How many of them Deuce came out with us? One. So he said, when Deuce was up on the board, everybody's looking around, who are we going to pick? He said, no, we picking Deuce. And then he whispered to me, because Ricky got one more year, and I'm shipping him out.
And see, I knew none of that. The only time we talk to players about, hey, when did you meet with such and such? Did you talk to such and such?
That's your first question usually.
Me and the Saints passed each other in the hall. Hey, you know, we literally at the combine.
Just like they did with
We passed each other in the hall. The conversation was not 15 seconds. It was just, man, I've been down to New Orleans for, I think it was Mardi Gras. I had came down to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. You know, you're the Saints. You guys got Ricky. There's really no need for us to even talk to each other.
But they didn't know what was happening behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Whew. Looking at things, the Texans pick is in, so that means black and gold, Saints on the clock, gentlemen, coming up here in
coming
the seventh
up real
round.
Quick, and we'll see what happens here.
Looking at some of the picks off the board after Nathan Thomas, Louisiana's product to the Dallas, Jonah Lalu from Oklahoma, defensive tackle going to the Colts. Wide receiver Devon Valley from Utah going to Denver. Myles Cole, the edge from Texas Tech, is now with the Jags. And Matt Lee, center from Miami to the Bengals. Still waiting to hear the Texans pick coming in here.
And then the Saints, 239. And we'll see Mr. Arrival. It belongs to the Jets, Sullivan, this year, unless things change.
Yeah, and the thing with Deuce, how many carries? I think you had one big game as a rookie, right, where you carried the football quite a bit?
What do you consider
big?
What do you consider? I had 16 carries my rookie year.
16 carries?
Total. 16 carries total.
Total.
So you know what they
For
were trying to do?
16 games.
They were trying to build up what they thought was capital to trade Ricky.
I don't even know if that's the case. Because there was a couple games, Mike, there were a couple games that I was supposed to go in. And at the time, Ricky would sub himself in and out.
Oh, my God. I'm not even the least bit surprised.
The Saints pick is in, gentlemen. The Houston Texans took Solomon Bird.
And there it is.
Joshua Ezeman.
Ezeman.
Eastern Kentucky.
From Eastern Kentucky, offensive lineman. So we had talked about that. That had to be an area you had to address. You had to get a guy who has played some tackle that maybe you could also kick in to the guard spot.
Put a little guard.
Yeah.
If he can't play left and right tackle, you want him to be able to play guard and tackle. He's got to be a swing guy more than one position.
Yeah, because in that particular spot, I mean, top linemen, they ain't got their hands way up in the air.
No.
At this stage.
So that's the bookends. You begin, you know, even though you can play a little guard, but you start OT, end OT.
And then you kick up inside.
And no other positions were duplicated except for 1 and 7.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where they line him up at first.
6'6", 329, seeing he was once a defensive lineman and switched over to the
O-line. He was a former defensive lineman and got swung over to the offensive side. So the other part that tells me he's a developmental player.
Well, he's a developmental, but, I mean, he's a pretty good athlete as well.
Yeah. Because if you can play along the defensive line, you an athlete
right.
In today's game. At that size, that's a big man.
6'6".
That's a big man.
I tell you one thing. Those offensive linemen they got, but the Saints – hey, put them up front. Put them make sure that they the first couple of guys that get off the bus. They look pretty. Make sure that they the first couple of guys that get off the bus. We can bring some of the smaller guys after them, but I want them two right there. Make sure they the first two to get off the bus.
Coming to the NFL for college, you know, offensive lineman is the biggest thing, just the size of everyone now you're meeting up in the NFL?
No.
Speed.
It's all about the
Bingo.
Speed, baby.
No.
How do you, have you not you, listened to Deuce?
You could be. You
I
can
didn't know
be.
Even for the offensive line if you considered it for speed.
What?
Are you serious?
Come on, Steve.
I just figured that size you needed to have. Hell,
if you can't get your hands on me, what good is that size going to do you?
Gotcha.
Okay, and how many guys at Eastern Kentucky have you played against?
That's got just pure speed.
That's got that type speed. Okay, that's what Trevor Penning's going through. Okay, at Northern Iowa, he ain't never seen somebody. You might have seen one a year. Now it's every week you playing against.
I'm playing
that
against
guy.
A guy that's 6'5". I'm playing against a guy that's 6'5", and he's 275, and he's just as quick as the guy that's 6'1", that's 240.
Gotcha.
He's just as quick as he is. And now, if my technique is bad, what do you think is going to happen to me?
I'm going to get killed.
If I can't kick back or if I can't shoot my hands, I'm late with my hands. I don't care if I am 6'7", 6'8". You may be able to bench 330 15 times. You have zero power. You have zero power because you have poor
turn
hand
style.
Placement.
Listen,
it's not even turnstile. You can sink, but guess where you're going?
Back.
Straight back.
Okay, listen to what Fuaga said when we interviewed him. He talked about, when I asked him what he's worked on the most, he said, my front foot kickstart.
Yeah. You got to be able to get out.
You got to get out. And I wanted to hear that from him because a lot of people think you got to work on your back foot. It's the front. You got to get that mirror in front of that defensive lineman. Slayer said it best. Stink. He said, Mike, every time I lined up against a defensive lineman, I would say 97% of the time that guy was more athletic than me.
It doesn't matter. If I can mirror him, he can't beat me. If I can mirror him, I mean, it's two-stepping. It's a dance. If I can mirror him, he cannot beat me.
No, I can two-step.
Well, you can play offensive lineman.
Texas two-step.
Well,
Texas
I need my ropers.
you gonna put some dusters on?
I get my ropers. I can.
You gonna put some dusters on?
What's that? I don't know dusters.
You can't. You ain't country.
I'm out of being country.
He's trying to pass.
So that seventh round pick is in for the Black and Gold. Josiah Ezarim coming to the Black and Gold. We're gonna step away for our break. Be right back with more of our Draft Fest coverage here on WWL from Rouse's Market on Power. Right after this. Well, there you have it, folks. The Saints 2024 NFL draft class is set. They ended up making all seven selections. I think if anybody was a betting man, they would have gotten that dead wrong.
Well, they started with nine, right? They started with nine. They did get rid of two. So I think Deuce and I joked on Thursday that what the bet would be, would they – that was – yeah, all nine, no way. But I would have been surprised with seven, to be honest.
And so there's always a connect the dots. And with Josiah, he played in the East-West Shrine Game. The coach there, the offensive line, Jari Evans.
Now,
so do you think Jari got up on the table and fought for his guy?
I think what he told him is, hey, listen, if we get
so
late.
So he didn't get up on the table?
I don't know about getting up on the table.
Okay.
I don't
Me
know
neither.
About,
I don't think he did either.
I
better be a strong-ass David.
It's like a Will Wade offer. So it's like an offer.
It's a really good offer.
So, you know, he started the last 2 years at right tackle. But he's green as grass from a technique standpoint because he's mostly played along defensive line. But you see the size in him he's a developmental guy because he's really been more on the defensive side last 2 years on offense. But somebody at the East West Shrine Game, you know, you get that invitation. They saw enough of you to invite you there.
Well, Mike.
And then Jari thinks enough that he would go to his team and said, hey, look, if we got a pick late, this guy's got an opportunity.
He's worth it.
He's got an opportunity.
But, Mike, we know and we agree upon, I think we do, how many 6'6", 330, 340 million?
There ain't a lot of cats walking like that.
Thank you. I mean, I don't think we done had too many of them that size walking this rosters today.
What, we ain't had a guy 6'3" walking here.
No, we done had some big ones, but nah, he ain't been sitting down. He's 6'3". But I'm just saying, he ain't no 6'6".
Man, he ain't no hold on, he walking over to us.
He walking that to us. He not 330 either.
No. He's more like 230.
Yeah.
Guys, well, I want to put a bow on this draft class, looking at the picks. One of your thoughts, obviously, round one, we got the offensive tackle the Saints were in desperate need of from Oregon State, Taliese Fuala. Guys, what do you like about this addition, Mike?
Each player or the draft overall?
Just with each player we're going to go through.
Oh, with Fuaga, he's your starting right tackle. Because, I got a lot of question marks about Ryan. I hope he comes back and can play, but, man, that's a big question mark. He's your starting right tackle. And he brings power to the table. They want to run the ball better. And I think, in my opinion, I should say, he's the best run-blocking tackle of this draft class.
That was definitely a big need after last season. Oof.
Dale Stinko running the ball.
Right.
You can blame Derek Carr and you can blame this and that. But if I know that you can't run the ball, I can do a lot of things scheme-wise defensively. To knock you out. You got to be able to run it. And over the last couple years, literally since Sean has left, has this team run the football well?
Nope.
Answer's no. No. So he's one piece of the puzzle. And Michael Pratt has just got selected in round 7 by the Green Bay Packers. And I think we'll find out, you know, some other things with Mike, and we've talked about it, the injury or some injury has dropped him this far. There's no way he should have lasted into round 7.
Not
no
at all.
No way.
None.
Looking at corner and Kool-Aid McKinstry goes to the team in the second round, Deuce. Obviously, you can never have enough corners in the NFL.
No, I think he's a good player. I mean, I think that he's a guy that can step in at some point and be a starter for you. He's going to come in and compete, which you always like. As a rookie. And I think, you know, from his ability to play multiple positions, primarily has played outside but can play in the slot for you, I think that helps his cause. He's not available if the foot injury doesn't occur.
There's no way you get him at that point. But look at the Saban corners. They all technique-wise, they know what to do.
They're very good.
They're good open field tacklers. Man, I hear people say that he's not a good tackler. You ain't playing for Nick if you don't tackle. Come on. I don't know what kind of film they're watching, but all I'm telling you is to play for Nick Saban, you better be able to tackle. And to hear Nick talk about him as a leader and a guy that he sort of took over last year of the defense. He was the defensive leader. And when I hear Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers, they went up against some pretty good corners. Look, them cats from Missouri, they both got picked in this draft.
In the NFL.
And they both said toughest corner they went up against was, guess who, Kool-Aid.
Right. Now, we talked about, obviously, all the guys today already. Spencer Rattler, Bub Means, Jalen Ford, Christian Boyd, and Josiah Ezarim going to the Saints. Now an overall, I guess, picture of this draft class. Mike, what do you think of this black and gold haul?
Let me see what Spencer Rattler can do, because if he's more than a backup, you've won pretty well. But to me, it's the linebacker from Texas. It's Ford. I think he's a guy that can help you and help you quickly. And even though he's played mostly the Mike, I wouldn't be surprised that he's a Sam linebacker for the Saints.
Yeah.
Deuce, for you, how are you feeling about the 2024 class as we get ready to hear from Coach Dennis Allen, supposedly coming to the mic soon?
On paper?
On paper.
Or in reality? I need to see him.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I to be honest, I need
I guess the feel you get, though, overall.
Man, we got 32 teams, and every one of them going to win the Super Bowl.
And everybody, man, we did great today.
Everybody feel fantastic about all the picks that they made. Everybody's going to the Super Bowl. That's the feeling in every city right now with the NFL draft. You can't tell me one GM is going to tell you, man, you know, we picked that player, but we didn't really want him. They ain't going to say that. They would be firing themselves. But – I really need to see those guys, how they fit. I don't think that you reached for a player. I thought that, you know, you didn't give up any draft picks as far as future, which we've seen them be aggressive and do.
I thought they would do that today, too.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I was okay with a fourth and lower.
Right.
Not anything a fourth and higher. I mean, if you're trading a third or second or even a one, man, you better know something. And you better be getting a boy dog. I mean, because I don't know if you're in position team-wise to be doing that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, here's my deal. Other than being in Kansas City today, because they've hit basically on 90% of draft choices the last 2 years have turned out for them.
Hmm. Okay, getting contributions.
And look where they're picking.
Always at the bottom.
You know, and those guys are either starters or role players. They're
contributors.
And they contribute on special teams. Man, you know, so if Brett Besch comes out and says, hey, man, we did really good this year, I believe him. Based off of what he's done in the past, it goes to show up. Now, I do have Patrick Mahomes, too, if I'm in Kansas City.
It covers up a lot of your mistakes.
Exactly.
It covers up a lot of mistakes. And so here's the thing, Steve. When you look at it overall, I thought that you addressed some of the needs. There's still some work to do. You still probably can use an interior guy. You can probably still use an offensive lineman. You could probably still add maybe a defensive end to see if you can find somebody in there. We talked about the competition from the punter standpoint. Can you go and find – I mean, look, the Saints the last couple of years, and you guys know this, the Saints have hit on a receiver/returner that has become an all-pro player over the last 4 or 5 years, Deontay Hardy. And then you look at Rashid Shaheed. I mean, we're not talking about Pro Bowl. We're talking about all pro. So that's best throughout the league. And so we know that they've had ability to find those type of players. So you want to see if they are able to go and sign somebody now.
Like I said, shortly we'll be hearing from head coach Dennis Allen, who will also be wrapping up his day three thoughts on this draft class. For me, I'm definitely anxious to see a guy like Bub Means. Love the nickname, and I know the need for this team with that big body receiver to make those contested catches. Said goodbye to number 13, Michael Thomas. And I know a guy like A.T. Perry maybe can fill that role, but a guy like Bub, I think, comes in and definitely pushes him even more.
This team did not pick a safety. Is there something in the back that they knew that they had? Remember a couple years back, they didn't pick a receiver, and they signed Jarvis
right. And
Tyron almost right after that. There was something in the background here that they didn't pick a safety here.
Well, here's the thing. Watch some of the veteran offensive line.
Yeah.
As well. Watch some of the veteran offensive line. I know some people are upset. Oh, we needed this. We needed that. We talked about it earlier. This was the day that you move a few players as far as, hey, I picked a young guy for you. I'm going to move this vet. Also, the negotiating power for a veteran free agent just went all the way down. It just plummeted. Just because now I've got a lot cheaper guys coming from college. So if I'm a veteran and I play X position, if I was wanting B out there, I might have to take G. And so that's just a sign. Now, if you've got real leverage, you'll kind of wait to injuries start to happen, training camp. But most of those guys want to say, hey, look, either I'm familiar with the system, let me go ahead and get back in, let me sign and be there for the offseason, or, you know, there's just not room. They want to see the development of maybe one of those young guys, and if they don't see it, then they'll call you.
And they'll sign some undrafted free agents too.
But I mean, the undrafted,
those guys are not.
You're not competing with a draft pick.
Right.
That's who you're competing with.
I understand.
A draft pick. I mean, but if they've got a first rounder, normally that first rounder is going to play. I mean, so you're not even stepping in.
You're not watching.
Yeah, you're there. You go. You're backup at that point if you're signing behind a first rounder, because that first rounder is normally going to play.
We touched on it real briefly, guys, but a guy like Michael Pratt finally come off the board to Green Bay. Obviously, they got a young talent still at QB there, so we have some time for Pratt to develop.
And if there's an injury,
he can heal.
He can heal. See, because to me, the last to the seventh round, that there's something more to this story. And a lot of times you don't find out about a medical with a player until sometimes afterwards.
Until somebody leaks it.
Yeah.
Be interesting to definitely find out why he plummeted down the board. Because, yeah, I figured he would be probably a day two pick. You know, obviously figured him to go at least earlier today.
Yeah, in the region of Spencer Rattler. And even Spencer took a little bit of a drop-off.
Fifth round. I mean, so 138 picks between quarterbacks.
So, again, you're trying to fill needs, and also you're trying to develop your roster a certain way, roster fit.
Mike, we hadn't talked about this, but this fits your category. So my pro-am partner, one of them, Tom, he just texted me. So the pros that we played with, they're in the final group.
Oh.
So I think the tips that we gave them about the course
I
on
feel
Wednesday.
Like this is a team win. If they win tomorrow, you are part of that.
I truly feel that way.
So you get a cut of that money?
I'm gonna inquire about that.
You know, we were asked yesterday.
Inquiring minds have to know.
We were asked yesterday by Greg Gibson if the winners get to go to the Masters. They do not.
So the winners do not get to go to the Masters.
They do not get to go to the Masters.
Even though this is a sanction.
They get FedEx points. They get everything else, but they do not get invites.
No, it was automatic qualifying. That's what we were asking. Was it automatic qualifying for the Masters?
No.
That was the question. That was the question.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just what did they get to go. Did they automatically qualify?
No.
So they do not.
They do not.
They just get the FedEx point.
The victory here does not qualify as you a victory that qualifies for an invitation to the Masters.
Can I still inquire about my
No, you,
my cut?
You still get – I'm with you on that.
I'm with you.
With the
dude,
course
you
knowledge.
Inquire about your money.
Yeah, so the caddies normally get 10%.
Okay.
So maybe
that's a nice little cut.
Yeah, maybe I can get, you know,
who was your other partner? Who was the other guy? You and who?
No. It was three of us. It was Tom Capella and Jeff Koontz as far as us three.
Tom Capella can play some.
Yeah, he can play.
You know why? Because he plays.
Well, he plays, yeah. But it was the knowledge that we gave the pros. It was the knowledge, even though they've been here, I think he said this is their seventh time coming and, you know, playing the course. It was the knowledge that we gave
them. Right, because a lot of trees are gone.
This course has changed.
It has changed.
And that's what we wanted them to know. And so now they're playing in the final group. So
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, I mean.
You had to go out there.
Well, I mean, your body can only take so much. I done been with y'all for the last
four
days.
We've been sitting on our tush for 3 days. I'm not sure I can walk.
Is it only 3 days? I feel like longer than that.
All right, Steve, what we coordinating here?
Just getting in contact with the Saints here. We're trying to figure out when we're going to get Josiah on with this. Do we need to wait for Dennis Allen?
And pointing to us, and we can't see what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was just saying, I was kind of wrapped up with
English
that.
To me.
Yeah, he pointed, like
I got education, see, but I don't understand that.
We got the TPC final round, Pelicans. We leave anything?
No,
yet?
We don't want to talk about the Pelicans.
We talked about Jim Henderson. We got a lot of stuff in.
We got our stuff in.
Definitely waiting on also LSU baseball tonight. Game two of that series against Auburn, a critical one for the Tigers. Yeah, exactly.
None of this win two or three. You got to sweep the series here. You really, really do. You got to be able to sweep it here. If you got any heartbeat to even get to the SEC championship.
Well, Ole Miss lost 2-1 against Alabama. So, I mean, I think LSU should feel pretty good. If they can win this one, maybe not even sweep, they're probably going to have the leg up because they hadn't played, I don't think, this year yet.
Who is that?
Ole Miss and LSU.
No, not yet. That's coming up.
That series would probably be the tail of the tape between, you know, those two as far as just qualifying. We're not even talking about.
We're talking about qualifying.
We're talking practice.
Yeah, practice.
Speaking of practice, while we got just a couple of seconds, May 10th through the 12th, rookie minicamp, and then May 21st, OTAs begin. The 23rd is the one open to the media. June 11th through the 13th, Saints mini camp. July 24th, 25th, 26th, training camp begins in Irvine, California.
Heading west, young man.
Is that going to be a 3-week stay, 4-week stay? Do we actually know? I know, no. And here's the question. Because you remember, I can't remember what hurricane it was that sent the team back to, was it Dallas?
It was Ida in 21.
Yeah. And so remember, they went on the road and they had to go to Dallas. And finally, after that, I think it was New England or somewhere.
After New England, came home for the Giants game.
You came home for the Giants game. But I wonder, will it be something similar to that? Because I think the Saints have requested that their first two games be on the road and not at home.
Right.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Right, it does make sense.
I mean, you're dealing with the NFL.
It's their year
You're still dealing with the NFL.
I know. It is your year for one preseason game, one home preseason game. This is the year for them to have 9 home games of the 17-game season, which they've not enjoyed yet. They've never had it yet.
No, because we were in –
In 21, they started with the AFC, 22.
London,
23, AFC. So this would be the first chance to actually have the 9 home games.
And, guys, doesn't the schedule get leaked out?
Yeah, in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, in about two or three weeks.
They'll start leaking it out. You know, a couple of the international
And we know
games.
Who we're playing. You just don't know when you're playing and what time.
And that's
so right
key.
Now, so right now, how many primetime games do you think the Saints get?
I would say – 3.
Mike?
Because of the teams they're playing.
Because if you're including Amazon and all this.
It's prime time.
Yeah, I would think 3.
I would go in that range, and my initial thought, honestly, was 2.
2?
Yeah.
I got him. I had him at 3, too.
Yeah.
You got the Sean game
at Kansas City, Green Bay, at Dallas. So you got some
possibilities. You got Dallas. Prime time.
I could see that being a Thanksgiving game.
I hope not. But
ooh, don't like Steve.
Yeah, come on,
I'm just saying.
What are you doing?
And late because maybe they think it's for the division, Atlanta.
Yeah, but anything after Thanksgiving, all of those can get flexed. All of those can get flexed after Thanksgiving.
So that's why we may get the 3rd.
That may be true, too. But outside of that 3rd. Yeah, outside of that, I don't know how many prime times they would be slotted for.
I don't think it would be more than 3.
Well, guys, it is time to welcome to the Big Easy, Josiah Zickel. Well, brought to you by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Josiah, welcome to the Black and Gold. How you feeling?
Man, I'm excited. I'm really excited.
I know I butchered your last name there. What is the correct pronunciation?
Azirum.
Thank you. So getting picked by the New Orleans Saints. Talk about getting to go from now Eastern Kentucky, now getting to come to New Orleans.
You know, I mean, it's been quite the journey, you know, from playing defensive line in high school and thinking I was a defensive lineman, not having that many offers, you know, and then, you know, I'm going to EKU, you know, FCS school, you know, everyone thinks that, you know, if you go play at a small school, your career past college is over. And then, you know, after that, after, you know, my college career is over, I go to the Shrine Bowl, you know, play against some of the best competition in college. Go to the NFL Combine. That's every little kid's dream. And now, like, you know, I'm sitting there watching the draft and, like, you know, I've watched it for so many years. And now it's I'm a part of it. I don't even know what to say. It's a dream come true, honestly.
Awesome. Josiah, my team here, I'm hanging out with former Saint Deuce McAllister, our NFL draft analyst, Mike Dettillier, and the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. Going to hand you over to Deuce McAllister right now.
Josiah, congratulations to you, and I want to ask you about that Shrine Bowl. Just what was that experience like for you to be able to go out there and compete and just try to hold your own in that game?
You know, it was honestly a great experience. I got to go against a lot of really, really good players from all over. You know, got to, you know, listen to some of the greats of the game talk as well. You know, getting to meet guys like Steve Smith Sr., Mike Vick, you know, Channing Crowder, and, you know, so many different greats, and so, you know, getting coached up by actual NFL coaches, you know, it was honestly, the whole experience was just amazing.
Josiah, Mike Dettillier, at the East West Shrine game, there was a guy by the name of Jari Evans over there. Is that the connection here with the Saints, with Jari, who also came from a small college also, like yourself?
Yeah, you know, Jari coached me up at the Shrine Bowl, you know. I had a really great time, you know, learning from him. You know, he was helping me out a lot, you know, helping me, like, with my pass set and things like that, you know, with my punch and, you know, my timing and everything like that. And, you know, he's a good coach, and he definitely knows what he knows his stuff, you know.
The things in coming from a smaller school up, how much of a connect the dots were there between you and anybody else with the Saints other than Jari during this draft process?
You know, I met with the Saints quite a bit. They, you know, they would come to my school pretty often, and I've talked to them, you know, quite a bit and there. And, you know, getting to talk with them at the combine, you know, I had a good interview with them as well over there. So, you know, the Saints have been a team that I've talked to quite a bit. So it's really excited that they believed in me and decided to pick me up.
Dyer, this is Mike Haas. I do the play-by-play for the Saints. And I'm just curious because you're right. You went to a smaller school, but that doesn't, you know, in the NFL these days. I want to go back into your mental framework of when they decided to put you from defense to offense. At that point in your career, did you feel like, man, this is just, you know, the dream is over? Or did you feel like the dream was just starting?
Well, after my sophomore year in 2020, I sat down with my head coach, and, you know, me and him were talking. He said, you know, Joe, I feel like you're a really talented player, but I feel like your best chance to make it at the next level will be playing offensive line and not defensive line. And at that time, you know, I wanted to see the field, and, you know, I'm a team-oriented guy, and I said, you know what, hey, wherever the team needs me, that's what I'll do. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it worked out. You played in five games, just five games in 2021. And then in junior in 2022, it took off. So right move, and then a lot of that is based on hard work, gut. And so congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Josiah, you got some genetics there. Your dad, wasn't he a big-time soccer player?
Yeah, my dad played soccer at Ohio State University.
So how much soccer did you play as a kid?
I played a little bit of soccer growing up, but my dad told me I had two left feet, so he took me out of soccer after elementary school.
Now, do you say just Ohio State to kind of get it under his skin a little bit, or do you say
I'm sorry, the Ohio State University. You don't say that, and they hate it.
I thought maybe you were doing, you know, getting under a little dig for dad, you know.
Josiah, what are some of the things that you feel like that you need to work on or you will need to work on to be successful here in New Orleans?
You know, just getting adjusted to, you know, going against grown men now. It's the NFL. It's another jump up in competition, getting used to that. Obviously, I got to work on my footwork and all those things and my technique. You know, those are some things I really need to, you know, get a hold of and hone down and hone in on. Just overall honing into my craft, you know, just, you know, getting bigger, faster, stronger, all those things.
Have you worked out with anybody in the offseason in particular to enhance your skills as an offensive lineman?
Yeah, I've worked out with Willie Anderson, you know, before my last season, you know, to work on my craft. And I've been working out with Torian Arnold, you know. He used to play in the league. And Torian Wilson, my bad. I was working out with him, and he was helping me get ready for the draft and for the combine and the Shrine Bowl and all those things. So, you know, I've been just working to get better at my craft every single day.
Working out with Flipper, you over in Atlanta.
Yes, indeed.
Josiah, interested, you know, we talked to a lot of the draft picks today, and it seems like video games is something that is everyone's attention in their downtime. Just curious, what do you do when you're breaking away from football, some hobbies or interests?
Well, you know, I like to hang out with a lot of my teammates at my house. You know, sometimes I'll bring them over to my place and we'll watch some football, we'll watch some basketball, you know. Or, you know, I'm a big gamer, too. I like playing Madden, Call of Duty, NBA 2K, and Mortal Kombat, and all the other fighter games. You know, I'm big into gaming, you know. I don't really do much, you know, in my spare time, so.
Have you ever visited New Orleans or in Louisiana yet?
No, I haven't been to New Orleans before.
Okay.
You'll love it.
Well, Josiah, for the Saints fans out there listening, We ask our draft picks to give you a big welcome and introduce yourself to them, to say a big who dat to all the black and gold fans out there.
Who dat?
All right, babe.
All right.
Well done.
Appreciate it, Josiah. Best of luck to you, and congratulations once again.
Thanks so much, Josiah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Saints' newest pick in the draft, the last pick in the seventh round, Josiah Ezrim, the offensive lineman. We're going to take a break real quick, step away, and we get back. We'll get into Dennis Allen's draft recap right here on our draft show here on WWL, brought to you by TrainSouth.com. Welcome back into the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest. Steve Geller, Deuce McAllister, Mike Dettelier, and Mike Haas. Our wall-to-wall coverage is wrapping up. We are at the Rouse's Market here on Power Boulevard. Want to give a big thanks to everybody who's been so gracious with everything. Delicious food, great atmosphere, fun seeing everyone coming in for the action. And we're now going to the podium over at Saints Camp, where head coach Dennis Allen wraps up day three of the draft.
All right. Look, I think we added, you know, five guys to our team. Obviously, this is an area in the draft where you're really talking about some developmental prospects, guys that, you know, probably come in and you know, they're competing for backup spots. They're competing for back into the roster, practice squad. And hopefully they're people that, you know, and obviously we saw skill sets that we wanted to work with and try to develop, and look, special teams is an aspect of that. So I thought we did a nice job of adding some different pieces to our football team today.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it was that kind of excited y'all or intrigued you about Spencer Rattler?
Well, look, I think just from an arm talent standpoint and the ability to make all the throws, I mean, he can make a ton of throws. He's got enough mobility in the pocket. Look, I think this is a guy that, you know, has been through a lot of adversity, faced a lot of criticism, and he's come out on the other side. And I think that's a good quality to have as a quarterback. And so, look, he's got a skill set that we want to work with. I think he's an excellent thrower of the football. And so I think where we were in the draft at that point in time, look, this is a guy that, you know, was considered by a lot of people a couple of years ago as a potential number one pick in the draft. So I think there's a lot of talent there, and that's somebody that we're – you know, excited about working with.
Was where he was available was surprising and kind of like a,
the quarterback position is kind of funny in terms of the draft, you know, and where people see guys and where you go and take them. I mean, obviously with so many quarterbacks going early in the draft, then there was a lot of other positions that now became available throughout the rest of the draft. And I just felt like, look, we had a nice grade on him and felt like, I mean, it was pretty obvious as you're sitting there watching the draft go and you know, you kind of got this one name sitting over there and we'd been sitting around for a while, you know, really all the third, all the fourth, and a little bit of the fifth before we got an opportunity to pick. So, and a lot of the second. So we sat around for a little while and that name just kept staring at us, you know? And so when it became our time to pick, it was, you know, really obvious that that was the right choice.
Dennis, I mean, obviously you guys had Drew here for so long, it's never something you really had to worry about. Barely ever took quarterbacks, but it's now three in the last 4 years. Do you guys view it just organizationally as just a smart thing to always
Well, look, I think you're always looking at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
I think it's a fallacy to say that there was never any quarterbacks drafted when Drew was here. I mean, there were several quarterbacks that were drafted during Drew's time. Never was there one that was drafted really high, but there was several quarterbacks that were drafted in the, you know, I don't know if it was as high as the third, but I know the fourth through the seventh round, there was a lot of picks that were taken. So, I just think that's a position that you're always looking to see how you can increase the value of that position. And look, we feel good about our quarterback room. We feel good about our starting quarterback. And now we feel good that we have a couple of guys, in my opinion, that are good developmental quarterbacks. And the great thing about it is both Jake and Spencer have an opportunity to come in and compete to make the roster, compete for the backup position, and get a chance to sit in the room with Derek and learn how to play the quarterback position.
Long wait between picks yesterday, third round, today, fourth round. Was that challenging to kind of stay patient, or were there trades that y'all were pursuing?
Yeah, look, I mean, we're always paying close attention to the board and who's available. And, you know, when there's a player that we're really, you know, in love with, we kind of see when it makes sense for us to potentially give something up to move up to take that player. There were some discussions that went on today, and some of the guys that we liked, you know, went off pretty early before it really made sense for us to, you know, give up, you know, future picks or give up some of these back end picks. You know, obviously when you're talking about when our picks are in the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds, the value of those picks, it makes it harder for you to move up, or you're going to have to package three or four of those picks to move up, you know, to one position. So we felt like today the right thing to do was kind of sit and wait, and I feel like it worked out for us.
That's interesting in the case of Rattler when you said that Magnet was kind of staring there for a long time. I mean, obviously he's a guy you could have made the move for, but what was the thinking in like letting the draft decide that for you? Or?
Yeah. Well, I just think, again, it wasn't a position that we felt like, man, we have to address this. And we felt like keeping those picks in the back end could be valuable to us. You know, and adding some more depth players potentially to our roster. And so kind of wanted to, you know, hold on to those. And yet, it wasn't easy to just, you know, hang on when you knew that name was kind of sitting there. So but sometimes the best move is to, you know, let the draft come to you instead of going and trying to make it happen. And that's what we did today. Yeah, look, I think overall I feel, you know, good about it. I feel like, you know, we've addressed some needs at the skill positions. We've addressed needs with some big guys. I think there's still some things that we'll still need to do, you know, prior to probably getting into training camp. And so, there'll be another round of things that happen in the next couple of weeks, you know, after the draft, after everybody gets a chance to get their, figure out what they have in their draft picks and reevaluate their rosters. And, you know, so we'll see, you know, what happens over the next couple of weeks. But I feel really good about what we were able to do. I mean, again, like I said, we got a, you know, starting caliber offensive tackle. You know, we got a, starting caliber corner, and then we got a really good, you know, developmental quarterback in our first three picks, and you know, I think that's good. And then I think we added some depth and some developmental players at the back end of the roster that have a chance to come in and compete for, like I said before, you know, backup spots, roster positions, practice squad spots. So I thought there were some good things that we did. I felt like we addressed a couple of needs, you know, maybe not fully addressed, but, you know, addressed a couple of needs in this draft too.
Dennis, Jalen Ford's interesting because, you know, he's been a green dot every down, Mike linebacker at a big school. Do you draft someone like that because that's a position you could need in the future, or is he more of an instant contributor on special teams?
Well, I think initially the thought would be his best avenue is to be able to contribute on special teams. And then I think you have to draft for the now, but you also have to draft with the vision for the future also. And, you know, if you really, you know, you look at our roster and at the linebacker position, you know, Khalik Hudson, we signed to a one-year deal. Willie Gay, we signed to a one-year deal. Pete Warner is going to be a free agent. You know, I know DeMario thinks he's playing until 50, but he's getting up there in age a little bit too. So, I mean, you know, we have to, you know, have some plans for that. So bringing in and I feel good about the depth that we have at the linebacker position, but I think bringing in a guy like that that can add to the depth and I think has a chance to be a really good special teams player, I think that was important. And I like the fact that, you know, he's smart, he's tough, he's played at a big program, he's been productive. So I think those are all good things.
I mean, the last couple of years especially, just a lot of your picks have been like team captains. I imagine it's not like this huge thing that you have to have in a player, but do you notice that when you're scouting these guys?
Look, that's part of it. I mean, there's a lot that goes into what we call the makeup of the player, and I think that's a big part of what we're looking for when we're drafting guys, is making sure that they're, you know, our type of guys. And there's varying degrees of that, you know, and I think, but I think overall, I feel like we do a pretty good job of, you know, trying to minimize the character concerns and bring in, you know, the guys that have both the personal and the football character that we're looking for.
Dennis, Spencer obviously was the Senior Bowl game MVP. You have three of them now in your quarterback room, but can you talk about the importance of the game right now, the Senior Bowl game, where it's at? Because you draft a lot from that game. The number one pick was from there. You even coached in the game as well. And they've added juniors now, and it seems like every year the players that go there are on NFL rosters, every single player come training camp time. How do you see that?
Well, look, I think it's a great evaluation tool for us as NFL coaches, scouts, talent evaluators, you know, and in particular, the coaching staff, because we don't get to go and watch these guys play live football. And look, in particular with us, because Mobile's 2-hour drive down the road and it's easy for us to get over there and see these players in live action. It's one thing when you're watching them on video. It's another thing to be out there and see them in live action and you know, in particular, some of the positions, in particular defensive line, offensive line, where you get kind of, you know, up close and personal and get a feel for their size, their strength, their power. You get a chance to watch their demeanor both during the play, in between plays, on the sideline. You know, I think, you know, and Phil Galliano was coaching in the Senior Bowl this year. So I think those are all – I just think it's a really invaluable tool for us in terms of, you know, the evaluation process. And I think, look, it means something to us when a guy gets invited to go to the Senior Bowl and he takes advantage of the opportunity. Not everybody does that. It's an opportunity for some. You get to see some of the smaller school talent go up and compete against some major college talent, and so that's one of the questions that you always have against with the smaller school player is level of competition, right? Well, they go to the Senior Bowl, perform well, then, you know, you get a little bit better feel for them. So, I think it's been great, and I think, you know, Jim Nagy does a really good job with it.
You mentioned kind of before.
for the adversity that Spencer went through, but when it is so high profile like that, like, do you kind of take more from a situation than maybe normal adversity?
Well, look, it's the toughest position in our game to play. It's the most scrutinized position in our game. And so, you know, to kind of go through the ringer a little bit and have the mental fortitude to come out on the other side, I think that speaks volumes to the mental toughness of that player. And look, I go back to opening game this year, I think it was North Carolina. I think he was sacked 9 times. And just to watch him get up and still compete and come right back at it was pretty impressive to see. So I think mental toughness, mental fortitude, I think that's a key characteristic in a quarterback, and I think he has that.
Do you see him as potentially developing into a starter one day? Is that?
Yeah, I definitely think he's got the ability to develop into that. He's got a lot of work to do, but I think he's got that developmental quality to him. Yeah, absolutely.
An older guy, you had him in for a visit. What drew you to him as prospect?
Well, look, he's a big, physical player inside, defensive tackle, probably more of a nose. I think he plays a physical game. He's got a little bit of athleticism to him. I liked him when he came in, you know, on his visit. I think he was a good character kid, smart. Tough, highly competitive, a lot of the things that we're looking for. And so, again, when you're talking about drafting, you know, in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, you're looking for developmental qualities. And so you got a tough, smart, competitive guy that has size and a little bit of athletic ability and toughness. I mean, those are good qualities to have.
Another Northern Iowa guy. Is that a coincidence, or is it kind of a thing where you feel comfortable with the reads you're getting from particular schools that you go back to is with Trevor? And obviously.
Yeah, I think that's probably more of a coincidence than it is anything else. I think we had him in he certainly knew who Trevor was, and you know, they had gone up against each other a few times. So we found a little companion for Trevor now. So
little is
broken. Yeah.
I know Mickey earlier this week talked about having some different voices and some different people helping, assisting, and doing things with the draft. How important was that, and maybe seeing things from a different lens this year?
Yeah, look, nothing changed in terms of the format, the formula, how we go about doing things. We had a couple of guys that couple of different voices, you know, in the room that just gave a little bit different perspective. Look, I think that can be beneficial sometimes. And so, I think all of that was helpful.
What do you guys like about Bubba Means?
Kind of a big target, fast, highly competitive. Pretty good production this year. Again, we're looking for developmental qualities late in the draft. So we're looking for size, we're looking for speed, we're looking for athleticism, we're looking for intelligence. Those are all things that we're looking for there. And, we felt like he checked most of those boxes. And so it gives us another kind of, you know, big target to throw the ball to. I also think he's got a mindset to be able to play special teams.
When you said in Orlando that you guys are looking for maybe to add another pass catcher, is that kind of the role you had in mind of what you wanted?
Yeah. Bigger, a little bit bigger body. I feel like we've got some smaller bodied players that
have a lot of speed that can threaten you vertically. Yeah, we were looking for a little bit bigger body player, but and I think at that point in the draft where you're at, you're like, that's what you're looking for, and so you're kind of sorting through some things, and that, you know, he kind of fit the profile we were looking for.
Obviously, receiver is a position even more than offensive line and cornerback, where there's a lot of ability to move around and be used in different ways. But do you kind of have a vision for who's competing for the X when you start installing this offense?
Yeah, I'm probably not going to get into all that in terms of who's playing what position. But I do feel good, about the receiver position. I think we added some pieces that can do a lot of different things. We've got some veteran presence in that room. We've got some young guys in the room. We've got speed in the room. We've got size in the room. So there's a lot of different things that we can do. And I think we got to get out here and start working and start practicing and kind of figuring out exactly where everybody fits within this scheme. I think we have an idea of where we want to, from an initial starting point. But I think until we really get out and start practicing football and start going through it and have our offense installed and our offensive coaches having the ability to work with the players, it's not until then that you really understand what they really can do. So I think we have to have an initial starting point, which we do. And then that'll be fluid as we go along and get a better feel for Clinton, his group will have to get a good feel for exactly what guys do well within the scheme and try to highlight those as much as we can.
Just as Zeram talked to us about starting at right tackle, but also having some experience at guard and then left tackle when he was working with Jari at the Shrine Bowl.
Yeah.
Where do you kind of see him starting out?
Offensive tackle. I think that's where we start him out. And look, that's much like we were talking about the Senior Bowl earlier, the East-West game, and Jari having an opportunity to go there and work with him and be with him all week long. That was valuable intelligence in terms of what we were able to gather from there, and that was helpful in making that decision. Again, here's a smaller school player that's got size, he's got length, he's got athleticism. But there's a lot of development that needs to take place with the player. But he's got a lot of tools to work with, and I think that's what we're really excited about.
How does, if at all, his experience at defensive line factor into what he could potentially grow into as an offensive lineman?
Yeah, look, probably a better question for him in terms of, like, how that helps him. I would say, look, I mean, he's got the athleticism to play that position. I'm talking about offensive tackle, and so I don't know how much really that experience on the defensive line helped him. That's probably a better question for him, but I like to say that the defensive linemen are more athletic than the offensive linemen, so that makes me think that he's got at least the ability to play the position.
Because left tackle was such a question mark. Go and draft Quag, if I don't know necessarily he's going to be right or left, depending on what happens to Andrew. How do you feel about that spot right now in general after the draft?
I feel good about what we've been able to add in the offensive line. And I don't think we're done yet. We made a couple moves in free agency. Drafted a couple of players, I feel pretty good about where we're at.
Did you fill all your musts?
No. That's probably an inaccurate statement. I think we're probably more in the need element now than we are necessarily in the must element.
I know there's some position. I mean, we can do our own evaluations where it's like, yeah, a first rounder would upgrade this position, but not necessarily just adding bodies. But are there positions where you still think veteran free agency is going to be somewhere you need to add?
Yeah, I mean, and I think we're always, you know, in that mode. I'm not going to get in, obviously, exactly which positions those are. I mean, but yeah, there's still a couple of positions that I think that we're going to look at, you know, what's out there. And like I said, there's going to be another wave of guys that are going to become available in the next couple of weeks based on what just happened, you know, in the draft today. So we'll see what happens. There's still some guys out there that are on the street right now. So, and then obviously there's a financial aspect that goes into that. So we'll have to see. All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, you want to give us all the UAF
edition? That was Saints head coach Dennis Allen after the NFL Draft 2024 edition has wrapped up. And already, Mike D, we got some of those undrafted picks coming in. Looking at Kyle Hergel, guard/center at a Boston College, and
versatile
also
guy that we talked about.
Right,
play center guard. You play it, man. Boston College. You look at that long line of guys that have come out of there, played in the NFL along that offensive line, and again, experience at both center and guard. And you know, Dennis Allen brought up about bigger offensive linemen, more of an emphasis on size. You heard him say it.
Right.
Yep. I mean, that's the bottom line is that's what they're looking for. The other thing I take out of this press conference is I think there's going to be a little bit more news coming from the Saints over the next couple of weeks.
Sounds like
veteran
it,
veteran
right.
Free agent signees.
Yeah, another guy that was added, guys, former Vanderbilt punter Matt Hayball, another Australian-style kicker coming to the Saints.
Well, one thing for sure, you punting for Vanderbilt, you're getting a lot of work.
That's a good one. Also, Colorado State, tight end, Dalen Holker, undrafted free agent signing with the Saints, and Idaho wide receiver Jermaine Jackson.
Yeah.
Not part of the Jackson 5.
No, but he can move. He can run.
He got moves like the Jackson 5.
He can run. He can run. The big tight end, too, interesting player. You look at Colorado State and how they flex people out. So they've used him a lot as a pass catcher. Not saying he can't block, but used him a lot in the receiving game.
Well, it's been a fun 3 days, gents. To Saints draft recap, don't miss me, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. We'll recap all the picks of the 2024 FAB, bring you commentary from head coach Dennis Allen, GM Mickey Loomis, interviews from the Saints players. We'll size up what the NFC South did and take your calls. Rate the picks, want to hear from you. We'll be on 10 a.m. till 12:30, right before the LSU-Auburn baseball game 3 starts on WWL. And then Monday is the big one. Join Saints legend Deuce McAllister and Mike Dettillier for the draft second guest live from the Silver Slipper Casino. We'll sizing up everything in the NFL draft again. Half the fun of football is second guessing. Don't miss draft second guest. Deuce and Dettillier Monday from 4 to 7 at the Silver Slipper Casino. Your host on the coast and WWL and the free Odyssey app. Gentlemen, any last comments before we say goodnight to everyone?
You know, ever hear a GM or a coach say he had a bad draft?
I was gonna
say. It's almost like recruiting, you know, and they bring them out. Oh, we got the positions we wanted. We got the guys we're looking for. Nobody says it, but it does take a little while how these guys adjust from college to the pros. How many times we see all these big-time high school players, they're not quite the same when you play college football. Well, you can be a big-time high school player. Don't mean you're going to be a great college player. Just like if you can be a great college player, doesn't necessarily mean you can be a great pro player. And the adjustment part, how quickly it comes around. I think the biggest part is fit, because once you get out of round one, all this is about fit. What it does in your scheme, Mike and I were talking about this, fit offensively, defensively, and importantly today, special teams. Because that's how you're going to break in if you're a later-round pick. You're going to have to break in on special teams.
Mike, another offensive lineman, Nuri Nulili from Nebraska. Has signed an undrafted contract with the Black and Gold.
Another big guy. I mean, and Allen brought up about the fact that, you know, we're looking for bigger offensive linemen. I get it.
Size matters.
And speed. We want both.
I want the talent. Give me talent. And then that bottom line with that part about it is this team has to get better as a running team or they stuck in neutral on offense.
Well, the sign saying good night, folks. Appreciate everybody joining us over the last couple days. Had a bunch of fun. Hope you enjoyed listening as well. For Mike Dettelier, Mike Haas, and Deuce McAllister, I'm Steve Geller. Have a good one. Who Dat Nation. Be talking to you tomorrow morning. Make sure you tune in 10 a.m. for our draft recap right on WWL Saints Radio. Have a good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.